And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
That's about 9 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. It's December 3rd. It's program 136 in the series. And the very lovely and vivacious and very dimpled Lisa Wolf is to my right. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Carl.
We have Elif Garis, our producer. She's in the booth. And Elif is from Turkey, but she's no turkey when it comes to producing this show.
Aha!
What's up?
What was that sound?
She has, and you know, her. Does that mean your cousins are chickens if you're turkey? No, that didn't work.
Where's the cricket chirp sound effect?
Didn't work. That laid an egg. Anyway, so in this hour, we will tune into Rocky Fortune. Hey, you know what? We have all Christmas programming from now through Christmas. All Christmas programming. Rocky Fortune, The Plot to Murder Santa Claus, Jack Benny Christmas Shopping, and then A Christmas Carol on Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Three classic Christmas shows on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater.
It must be looking a lot like Christmas soon.
Yes, it is.
Soon.
And it's all brought to you in part by Cats Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cats Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming TV series Big Little Lies, where things take a dark turn for a group of moms whose perfect lives begin to unravel.
And what do they win?
And the winner will get a Christmas package, which includes a Lightkeeper Pro and a Scentkeeper.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This is Bruce's daughter and one of the stars of Jurassic Park.
There's only one way to be positive. I'd have to see the dinosaurs dropping.
Yeah, that'd be kind of smelly. The giant droppings. All right, so do you know who that is? Bruce's daughter.
That was a big clue, Carl.
And one of the stars of Jurassic Park. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back. This is show 136 of the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity
Holy
Scoop.
Holy moly, that's a lot
Holy
of shows.
Holy moly, 136 times I've been sitting here next to you.
Oh, gosh, you poor thing.
I know. I feel bad for myself. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
There's only one way to be positive. I'd have to see the dinosaurs dropping.
We have Tom on the line. He's from Montgomery. It's not Tom Montgomery. Tom from Montgomery. Hey, Tom.
Hi, how are y'all?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just actually heading home from work. Been making pizzas all night.
Oh, that sounds delicious. That's my favorite all-time food in the whole entire world. Is that Montgomery, Illinois?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right next to Aurora.
Okay, that's not so far away. So, Tom, from Montgomery, Illinois, who is that actress?
Laura Dern.
Laura Dern is right. Guess what, Tom? You have won the Christmas package. It includes a Lightkeeper Pro, your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets, and a Scentkeeper for real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree. Visit LightkeeperPro.com. Of course, Carl likes to use a Scentkeeper as deodorant, but, you know, everybody likes their own
thing.
I'm in
the Christmas spirit.
He's unique, so we always say that. Tom, thanks a lot for calling in.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Tom.
It.
Oh, thank you guys so much for what you do. I love this show. It gets me home every night on the weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Oops, we lost him. All right, Tom, thank you, buddy. Drive safe. All right, so it's three Christmas shows from now through 2 o'clock in the morning, Lisa. We're going to start things off with Rocky Fortune. You know that Frank Sinatra had his own regular radio detective series. He was kind of an amateur detective on this show. It was created by George Lefferts and Ernest Canoy of X-1 and Dimension X fame. and it was heard on NBC, sustained. It never had a sponsor. It came to radio for one season in 1953. Sinatra's career at this time, Lisa, kind of fading, and his role of Private Angelo Maggio in From Here to Eternity had just come out, and he would sort of wait till win the Academy Award, and then he dumped the show. That's exactly what happened. He did the show to make a few bucks, and then he won the Academy Award
and
said,
done.
I'm done with this. So he kind of played this this character named Rocky Fortunato. He was a young man in need of employment, and he accepted odd jobs from the Gridley Employment Agency. And, of course, these jobs would lead to a murder or two, and he'd have to solve the crime. So let's go back to a broadcast date of December 22nd, 1953. This show is called The Plot to Murder Santa Claus. Here's Frank Sinatra in part one of Rocky Fortune.
Now, Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
Did I ever tell you about the time I got mixed up in a plot to murder Santa Claus? Yeah. It all started when I answered a Christmas ad for a department store. The ad said, young man of good character is auxiliary store detective and other duties. 2-week employment. So, next day I am an auxiliary shamus for Crack and Bomb's department store. Kind of a high-class Fifth Avenue dispensary where for only 50 bucks you can buy your girl a mink toothbrush. And for an extra $5,000 you can get her a coat to match.
This way, Mr.
Fortune, Rocky Fortune, Mr. Prim.
Yes. This is fifth floor, children's toys. Note, please, Santa's workshop and the enchanted igloo. This will be your post.
What do I do?
Just keep an eye on the merchandise. Quackenbaum's has had a good deal of shoplifting recently.
Yeah, especially in the jewelry department, eh?
We don't like to talk about that, Mr. Fortune.
Mister, it's been on the front page of all the newspapers for a week. $8,000 worth of pearls.
Wow. The thief will be apprehended in good time. Have no fear. Oh, and one other thing.
Yeah?
At lunch hour, you will relieve Santa Claus.
You mean put on a beard and everything?
Oh, it's just for half an hour. As a matter of fact, you start in exactly 5 minutes.
I'm not exactly built for this.
Neither is our present Santa. They're running thin this year. Just ask Big Elf to help stuff you.
Big Elf?
Santa's helper, the large fellow in the elf suit.
Oh, sure.
Good luck, Mr. Fortune. The honor of Quackenbaum's is in your hands.
At $44.50 a week, Mr. Quackenbaum is getting a bargain. Big Elf, whose name is Marty, weighs about 250. He helps me into Santa's suit, and I take over inside the magic igloo while Santa goes out for some chowder. I embarrass a couple of mothers by promising everything the kids ask for, and I'm really living it up, having the time of my life when a little girl about six comes in all by herself. She's a pretty little thing, too, with blue eyes and freckles. On one leg is a light steel brace. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all, and that's what I want for Christmas. Well, hello, honey. You here all alone?
Yes, sir.
Well, what can I do for you?
I have a note for you.
A letter for old Santa, huh? Oh, let's have a look. Dear Santa, you know what we want for Christmas. We better get it or you'll never live to make those Christmas Eve deliveries. Signed, you know who. Well, well, did you write this letter yourself, honey?
No, sir. A man gave it to me.
What did he look like?
Big man with a black mustache. Gave me a nickel, too.
Heavy spender, huh? Honey, what's your name?
Gail. Gail Grayson.
And what would you like Santa to bring you for Christmas, Gail?
I'd like your elf.
You mean Big Bonehead out there?
Oh, no. Not the man in the elf suit. I mean the elf doll. The one with the red silk suit and the green hat.
Oh, well, that's pretty expensive, honey. Maybe your mommy and daddy can't afford it.
I don't have any mommy and daddy.
Oh. Well, you leave your name and address with Santa, and I'll see if we can't arrange for something. It might not be that same doll, but...
That's the one I want.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, look, Gail.
Gail! Gail, there you are. I told you to wait outside the man's office.
I wanted to talk to Santa about getting that elf doll.
Honey, I told you that doll cost too much.
Santa says maybe he can arrange something.
Santa's wrong. Look, mister, I've just been seeing about trying to get a job in this place so we can afford to eat. I don't have money for expensive dolls.
Well, I'm sorry, miss.
Well, you've no business building up false hopes in children. They put so much faith in this.
Well, if you just let me explain,
Come around and explain Christmas Eve if you can.
Well, I'd like to, but I don't even know your name.
This is my sister, Laura. And we live at 65 Bleakman Street, 55 Santa...
Gail, for heaven's sake. Come along.
You won't forget the doll, will you, Santa? Please don't forget. Please.
Lose a customer, Jack? I'm afraid I lost a friend, too.
Cheer up. Maybe you won't live long, then you won't need a friend.
Why don't you just stick to being a big elf, Marty?
Don't be a wise guy, Fortune.
Me? I'm never a smart aleck. By the way, how do they spell elf? O-A-F? After lunch, the real make-believe Santa Claus comes back, and I turn over the suit, beard, and stuffing. I'm glad to get back to being a store detective. That big elf is no pleasure to work with. I keep thinking of little Gail. Well, let's face it, I keep thinking of her big sister, who's got eyes like Dresden china and a figure like a Lamarge teapot. I wonder if I'm ever going to see her again. I don't have to wonder long, because right away things begin to happen.
Help! Don't be Catcher! Catcher!
All right, hold it.
Oh, let me go.
Take it easy. Well, Laura Grayson.
Who are you?
Santa Claus, remember? My name is Rocky Fortune. I'm also the store dick in this department.
Oh, Mr. Fortune, please. I don't know why I took it.
Well, let's see what we've got here.
It's the elf doll, the one Gail wanted.
Baby, if you're going to shoplift a doll, they got better ways worked out than just pick it up and run with it.
I had to take it. I couldn't disappoint her. I couldn't.
Yeah, I guess it was partly my fault.
I suppose you'll turn me over to the police now.
Well, hold it. Lady, this ain't for general publication, but between you and me, I'm the world's worst toy store detective. Too much larceny in my blood. So I'll just turn around for 20 or 30 minutes, and if you're not gone when I turn back, I'm going to put the pinch on you.
You're letting me go?
Please, let's not be vulgar.
Well, thank you, Rocky.
Hey.
What?
You forgot the doll.
But...
I was going to buy it for her anyway. Besides, I get it for only $3 because it's a display model. Now beat it.
Oh, Rocky, I could kiss you.
Go ahead.
I will. Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year to you. Wow. The kid slips down the stairway with the elf doll, and I am still wearing a lipstick on my cheek when Mr. Prim boils over. He looks so much like a clothing store dummy, you expect to find a price tag on him. Right behind him is Marty, the big oaf elf.
Mr. Fortune.
Oh, hi.
Where is she?
Where is who? Whom? He.
The dame who stole the doll from Santa's workshop.
Oh, you are a little elf, aren't you?
Mr. Marty here tells me he saw you catch her. Where is she?
Overpowered me. She must be a lady wrestler or something.
Mr. Fortune.
Tell you what, though, Mr. Prim, just to make everything okay, I'll pay for the doll.
What?
No kidding. You see, I know the young lady, and I was going to buy it for her anyway, so I...
Well, this is highly irregular.
Oh, come on, Mr. Prim. Think of how proud Mr. Quackenbaum will be when you tell him you unloaded that shop-worn display model. Huh?
Well, it's highly irregular, but go ahead. The sales clerk will make out the proper form.
Well, thanks, Mr. Prim. I'll do that.
Hey, Fortune.
Yeah?
What was the dame's name?
What's it to you?
Just curious, you know?
I know. Stay just as you are. After closing time, I go into the employee's dressing room for a quick wash-up and a change of linen. Place empties out when my pal, the store Santa, flops in after a hard day at the igloo. He takes off his red suit, and I see he's built like a Japanese wrestler with a nose like Rudolph the reindeer, only it ain't from drinking melted snow.
Well, good night, everybody.
Good night, Herm. Looks as if the detectives and the Santa Clauses are the late workers in this department, huh?
Yeah. Just you and me now.
Just you, Santa. I'm blowing right now.
Just a minute.
Yeah?
That girl who stole the elf doll.
What about her?
Mr. Prim mentioned that you know her.
So?
I'd like to know her name.
You're the second guy in a half an hour. What is this?
Just what I said, Fortune. What's her name and where does she live?
Look, I know you've been making a list and checking it twice, Uncle. Then why do you want to know?
I had my eye on that elf doll myself, for my kid. I'd like to get her for her.
They got brand new ones in stock.
I'm interested in that one. So the name, huh?
Sorry, Uncle.
Fortune. Maybe I don't make myself clear. I want that girl's name and address. I want it very bad.
You know you shouldn't use that tone of voice. It don't sound like you got the holiday spirit.
I'm going to use more than a tone of voice if you don't unclaim.
Sorry, Sam.
Okay, Fortune.
Okay, you want to fight?
I'll fight. What's her name?
Why, you punk, I'll bust you.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, please, please, just watch what is going on here.
Well, let Samson here tell you.
I was just showing Mr. Fortune here a couple of judo holds that might come in handy next time a young girl overpowers.
This is not a gymnasium, gentlemen. I'll thank you to leave and report back promptly tomorrow morning. Good evening.
I managed to stagger out of my own power and head back to my flat. I figure I'll have some supper and then locate Laura Grayson for another look at that elf doll that everybody wants to get his hands on. Also, for another look at Laura Grayson. Yeah. I stop to line my flu at a local cafeteria and go up to the flat. I walk in like I live there, which I do, and discover I have guests.
Hello, Rocky.
Well, well. Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake with poison in it.
A cake with a file in it would be more useful where you're going, Rocky, my old pal.
You are referring to the House of Detention?
The same.
Well, sir, if my days as a process server serve me correctly, they make mention of a thing titled due process, which means you don't arrest a guy without you can make some kind of charge, right?
Right.
So?
So we would like to revolve the wheel of our conversation around the axle of your understanding down at the Irish clubhouse.
Concerning?
Concerning a murder.
You said a murder?
Yeah.
Who?
Rocky, this is going to come as a shock to a naive young boy like yourself. But there ain't no Santa Claus.
How come?
How come? Because somebody stuck a knife in him. He's laying on his face over in Quackenbaum's department store. Let's go.
The plot to murder Santa Claus on Rocky Fortune from 1953. That's Frank Sinatra starring in that. And we'll get back to it in a few minutes.
WGN.
Damn. Oh, I love it. Chicago, right?
Chicago.
Yeah. Saw them live.
I saw them live many times.
Jim Caviezel and I went to see them in live.
You saw them in live?
No, I saw Jim. Jim, who's a good friend of mine, the actor. He and I went to see, because he's really good friends with the band's manager, and we went and saw them live. It was great, and we went backstage and everything.
I saw them in Las Vegas many times with my parents. They were at Caesar's Palace many times.
They're great.
There.
Oh, yeah, really
Chicago,
great.
Chicago, yeah.
They're fantastic, and so is Frank Sinatra. We're tuning into Rocky Fortune, but before we get back to it, I do want to remind all of our listeners that I have a website that I put up just for our listeners. Because six classic radio shows a week is not enough. I want to give all of our listeners an additional show, one that I email to you, digitally remastered. It comes to you every Monday in an email. There's also a picture of whoever is in that radio show that I'm sending you. Also a synopsis and the date, the sponsor, and all kinds of fun stuff. This is a free service. It's just a way of saying thank you for listening to the show. Just go to freeradioclassics.com, freeradioclassics.com. Put your name and your email address. You'll be signed up. And then every Monday, you'll get an email from me with a different classic radio show. So you'll collect 52 classic radio shows every single year. And if anybody wants to unsubscribe, you can do that very easily. But you'll get maybe Gunsmoke 1 week, then Jack Benny the next week, Suspense. And right now I'm sending out Christmas shows as well. And then I'll kind of do that, you know, Father's Day shows and Valentine's shows, Halloween shows, you know. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, you should look toward the romantic shows for Valentine's Day. I know those are your favorites.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I just love the romance. I don't think I have a romantic bone in my body. I really don't. No?
Well,
just don't think I do.
Maybe someday you'll find that bone.
I don't know. Possibly. Yeah, I'll have to keep looking.
Keep looking
for
searching. The
bone. I'm searching for it. So anyway, it's freeradioclassics.com. That's the website, freeradioclassics.com. You could sign up right now, and you'll get your first email on Monday. And I know a lot of our listeners have already signed up, and they got one last Monday. So don't miss out on yours. Go to freeradioclassics.com, and then you'll get your first email from me on Monday. Right?
Right. And right. I was going to mention also, don't forget, we have a Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater, and we hope that you'll like us and that you'll post. And we have a text-in line, which is the same as our call-in line, 312-981-7200. We do read all of your texts, so we do appreciate your input in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, now it's time for the conclusion to the plot to murder Santa Claus on Rocky Fortune.
I spend the next few hours as a guest of the city, in the squad room, or sweat box, as it is affectionately remembered by inmates of various steel academies in this state. To mine host, the Sergeant Finger.
All right! Now for the last time. You had an argument with him, right?
He had one with me.
Okay, he socked you.
Yes.
You socked him.
Right.
You got interrupted.
Right.
You left.
Right.
Then you come back and stabbed him.
Wrong.
Okay, okay. Let's have your story.
Somebody was after him, Sarge. I got a threatening note that was supposed to go to him.
Where is it?
Here.
This is kid stuff.
You ever hear of a kid threatening Santa Claus? Come on,
Sarge. Okay, okay. So it ain't kid stuff. Who sent it and why?
That's what the taxpayers hire you to figure out. Maybe it's got some connection with that jewel robbery.
What do you know about the jewel robbery?
Just what I read in the papers. Somebody snatched $8,000 worth of pearls.
You, maybe?
Don't be ridiculous. I wasn't even working there when it happened.
What makes you think it was an inside job?
The newspapers. They got the opinion from the police. You familiar with this organization?
Don't get funny.
Did it ever occur to you that maybe Santa Claus was in on that jewel job?
As a matter of fact, Rocky, the guy in that Santa Claus suit has a record as long as your arm. Only one thing is wrong.
Yeah?
We can't arrest him for his own murder.
So why pin it on me?
You're available. Also, whoever stabbed him was in on the inside. It happened after the store closed. Also, there's $8,000 worth of pearls floating around someplace and a reward for $1,000 to whoever finds them.
No kidding.
Yeah, you want to claim it? All you have to do is confess you killed a guy, turn in the pearls, collect the reward...
And go to the chair. I'll tell you what, Sarge. You do me a favor and I'll confess to the murder. The jewel robbery and all of the other old crimes you're too stupid to solve.
What's the favor?
Drop dead.
Rocky, someday, pow! Right in the toy department.
Come on, Finger. You know as well as I do I couldn't have done it.
What makes you think so?
That note the lieutenant handed you a few minutes ago. You checked my alibi and I was feeding my face in the cafeteria when he got stabbed. So stop giving me the needle and let me go home.
Fortune, someday...
I know. Pow! Can I go now?
Don't you like it here?
It's great, but I got a date with a doll. Finger turns me loose, and I jockey my way right down to Laura Grayson's apartment in a cheap village flat. It's about 9 p.m. when I get my finger in the doorbell.
Just a moment. Rocky.
Hi. Can I come in a minute?
Of course.
Where is Gail?
Asleep. I hope so, anyway.
Listen, honey, I have to ask you something.
Well?
Have you got the doll?
Of course. Gail's so happy about it, she's ready to fly.
Look, I'll have to ask you for it back.
You what?
Well, I'll get another one to replace it, a brand new one, really. But right now, I got to have that one.
Sure, Rocky. Sure.
It sounds kind of funny, and I can't explain it now, but you tell a kid I'll get her another one, huh?
It isn't necessary, Rocky. Wait a minute, I'll get it for you. Here.
Well, thanks. I have to get back to the store. I'll call you tomorrow, maybe for dinner, huh?
Uh-huh.
Good night, Laura.
Good night, Rocky.
I knew what she was thinking, so I didn't try to make any excuses. I just took the doll and headed back to my flat to take a look inside. It was as empty as an eggshell in a fox farm. I was just reaching for the phone when it rang. Hello?
Rocky?
Yeah?
Well, this is Laura.
Rocky, something terrible has happened.
What's wrong? What's the matter?
Well, just after you left, a man came, a big man with a black mustache, and he asked for the doll. Said he was from the department store police. I told him you'd taken it back to the store, and he left.
Well, what's so terrible?
Well, he must have awakened Gail, and she overheard us. Anyway, when I went into her room just now, she was gone. Rocky, I don't know what to do.
She heard you say I was taking a doll to the store?
Yes.
Maybe she's on her way over there now to try to get the doll back.
At this hour?
Honey, 6-year-old kids don't know from the wages and hours law. Look, I'll take a run over there just in case she shows up. You notify the police and meet me. I stuff the kid's doll in my overcoat pocket and flag a cab over to Quackenbaum's department store. There's no sign of the kid out front, so I leg it around to the delivery entrance. No sign. I decide to check inside and show my pass to the night watchman at the entrance.
Hold it, mister.
Hiya, Pop. I work here.
Let's see your card.
Here, right here.
Store dick, huh?
That's right, Pop. Now, listen, I'm looking for a little girl about 7 years old. Wears a brace on one foot. You seen her?
What would a kid like that be doing here after hours?
Her mother thinks she got lost in the store.
Oh. Well, I only been on a couple of minutes. I ain't seen her.
I'm going up to check the toy department on 5. You keep an eye out, will you? If she comes along, send her up to 5. I'll be waiting.
Okay. I'll keep watch, Farrah.
Thanks. I go up to the toy department. In the darkness, it looks as eerie as a graveyard on Halloween. I figure maybe Gail managed to slip in past the watchman, so I give a yell. Gail! Almost scare myself to death. What's that?
Nobody here but us toys, boss. Get 'em up, Fortune.
I assume that ain't a lollipop stick in my spine.
That's right, smart boy. Step over here in the light.
So what do I owe the pleasure?
Just a little shopping trip. I'm looking for a doll.
You don't say.
I do. So hand it over.
Help yourself. It's in the coat pocket.
Toss it here.
There.
Now stand still while I have a look inside. Okay, wise guy, where's the stuff?
Stuff?
Don't play dumb. With $8,000 worth of pearls from last week's job inside this doll, where are they?
Search me, pal. Maybe you got the wrong doll.
I got the right doll, Buster.
What makes you so sure?
Santa Claus told me. Before he died.
Looks like you and Santa Claus were in on that robbery.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Until he tried to double-cross me.
What happened?
I heisted this stuff and gave it to Santa Claus to hide. He hid it so good I couldn't find it. He wasn't going to tell me where it was until I gave him more than half. Only I changed his mind for him.
Yeah, with a 4-inch blade.
Uh-huh. You should be a store detective. You're real smart.
I take it the stuff was in the doll.
That's right, Rocky. Only it ain't there now. And you had that doll.
Which means?
Unless you unclam, I may have to give you the same treatment I gave Santa Claus.
I'm telling you, the pearls were gone when I got that doll home.
And I'm telling you, if they were gone, it's because you took them.
I don't have them. Sue me.
Rocky, old man, it's Christmas time and goodwill to men and all that. And I hate to knock off two guys in the same day. But if you don't spill them pearls in 5 seconds, I'm going to put lead in your braid. Now, where are they?
I don't know.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Rocky.
What the?
Gail, hi.
Come back here, Fortune.
Here's a football for Christmas, boy. I let Big Elf have it in a puss with a football from the toy counter and grab the kid. We duck into the maze of counters and crawl along until we get behind some packing crates. Marty's cursing and looking for us, and he's still got a gun, too.
Rocky, I had to find you. I wanted to...
Shh. Don't let him hear us. Crawl into this packing case.
Rocky, I'm scared.
Do as I say.
Okay, Rocky.
Fortune! A
It's no use, Fortune. I'm going to find you, and when I do... Come on out, Fortune. Come on out.
Rocky, I'm scared.
So am I, kid. We got to do something. But let's see what they got in these boxes. Mighty Mike mechanical police car. Oh, there's a big help.
Hey. What?
Let me have one of those.
Here. What are you going to do, Rocky?
You'll see.
I'm coming, Fortune.
Look out, Marty. Watch out. That's two shots. He's got a revolver that holds six. Four to go. Let's see.
Here's something, Rocky. Super rocket ship.
Fine. Let's try this on. Ready? Go.
Fortune, are you crazy? I'm going to get you.
Three and two and five. One more. What's in that box?
It's an atomic blaster, junior space cadet size.
Why not? Let's try it.
I hear you, Fortune. I hear you now.
Try this, Clint. You missed, Marty. That's pretty bad shooting.
Maybe, Punk, but this ain't gonna be.
Those things gotta be loaded before you can shoot them, Marty, remember?
You dirty...
There's something else for Christmas. My gift to Santa's helper was a Louisville slugger right on top of the noggin. And just as he went out, the lights went on. Suddenly the place was crawling with humanity.
Rocky, Gail, are you all right?
We're fine, baby. Well, look who's here, late as usual.
No wisecracks. This the missing kid lady?
Yes, officer, thank you.
Who's the stiff?
This is the bum who killed Santa Claus.
Boy, you should have seen Rocky beat him with that bat.
By the way, Gail, where's the stuff that was inside the doll?
You mean the pretty marbles? I thought they came inside the doll, Rocky. It was a sort of surprise.
Some surprise. Do you have them?
I think so. In my pocket someplace. Oh, here they are.
Sergeant? Here you are, sir. Just in case you ain't got all your marbles.
Marbles? Hey, those are the pearls that were heisted last week.
He's got a magnificent mind, this Sergeant Finger, doesn't he? Gail, I'm sorry about the doll, honey, but unless I'm mistaken, you got about $1,000 reward coming for this stuff.
$1,000? Rocky, it's too good to be true. I must be dreaming.
Want me to pinch you?
Couldn't you just kiss me instead?
Why not? Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast included Ted Von Else, Mary McGovern, Kay Stewart, Frank Gerstle, Jim Nusser, Barney Phillips, Bill Justine. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts. Andrew C. Love directed.
That is Rocky Fortune, December 22nd, 1953. With the plot to murder Santa Claus, starring Frank Sinatra, as heard on NBC. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Bee Gees. Oh, man. I was just thinking about these days. I was kind of laying in bed and just daydreaming about, you know, good times from way back when. I was thinking about my disco days.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then here it is. Here's the
You're
music.
Not going to tell
Brings
us the
right
story
back.
About the Italian horn, are you?
No, I don't want to bore you.
Good.
So in this hour, it's the Jack Benny program, Christmas show from 1940. Then after that, we're going to tune into Richard Diamond, Private Detective. He and his gang on the show do a recreation of A Christmas Carol. It's really great. You'll love it. Dick Powell on that. So all of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This This actor stars in the upcoming TV series The Deuce, a look at life in New York City during the 1970s and 80s. And if you are the winner, you will get the Christmas package, which includes the Lightkeeper Pro and the Scentkeeper.
All right, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear this actor talking with Elizabeth Shue's character in The Karate Kid.
I don't have much of a cheering section.
You got me.
Well, I'll probably get killed in the first match anyway.
So we'll leave early.
All right, 312-981-7200. We'll just leave early.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, do you know who that actor is? Call us, win a Lightkeeper Pro and a Scentkeeper. Right,
exactly. All the right. Christmas package.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
I don't have much of a cheering section.
You got me.
Well, I'll probably get killed in the first match anyway.
So we'll leave early.
And we're trying to talk to Janine from Calumet City. Hi, Janine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay, what's the matter? It's Christmas season.
Well, yeah, I'm moving.
So. I hear ya. Who's that actor?
That would be Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio is absolutely right. Janine, we're going to try to brighten up your Christmas a little bit and give you a Christmas package, including a Lightkeeper Pro, your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets, and a Scentkeeper for real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree. Visit LightkeeperPro.com. We hope you have a great holiday and good luck on your move.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Thanks. And he was talking to Elizabeth Shue there. You know what?
What?
I date her.
I know it. I know it.
Just wanted to let you know that.
It's been a long time that, I mean, I think of Ralph Macchio back when the day in Karate Kid. I don't know what he looks like anymore.
He looks the same.
He looks the same.
Well, I just
he was
saw
a good
him
looking guy.
Recently in the Alfred Hitchcock film, Hitchcock, with.
Yes.
Who played him?
I don't know, but I saw, I mean, I know about the film,
the
but I didn't
see it. The
same
guy who played,
it.
You know, in Silence of the Lambs. Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins, yeah.
And so he plays Robert Block, who wrote Psycho. Robert Macchio, Ralph Macchio plays Robert Block in that movie.
So he looks kind of the same?
He looks the same.
Yeah. How old is he now? I mean, he was a kid.
I'm guessing he's probably 50.
Yeah, same.
45, maybe.
I'd date him.
all right, it's time for the Jack Benny program, a great Christmas show. From December 22nd, 1940, the whole gang go Christmas shopping. Let's tune into part one of the Jack Benny program.
J-E-L-L-O.
The Jell-O program, coming to you from the Ritz Theater in New York City, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Tookie. Tookie, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, there being just two more shopping days till Christmas, we bring you that fugitive from Gimble's basement, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking. And Don, speaking of Gimble's basement, I never saw so many women shopping in my life. I got shoved around like a blintzer in Lindy's. Boy, what a mob.
Pretty hectic, huh?
Hectic. You know, Don, I can understand my derby getting caved in, my muffler torn, and the sleeve of my coat ripped off. But how I lost my pivot tooth, I'll never know. That was really an experience.
Oh, I can just imagine what you must have gone through.
You know, a funny thing about women, Don, all year long, they're so helpless. You have to open the door for them. They can't light their own cigarettes. They cling to your arm as you walk down the street. They're as delicate as butterflies. And then, about 2 weeks before Christmas, a mad glint comes into their eyes. And with an umbrella for gouging and a handbag for slugging, off they go. Come on, girls, let's mangle the mail. That's their battle cry.
Well, Jack, women are a little excitable when they're shopping around Christmas time, but I don't think they're as tough as you say.
Oh, you don't, eh? Don, I was in Macy's yesterday afternoon, and a little gray-haired lady, couldn't have been over 5 feet tall, put down her cane and yanked a washing machine right out of my arm. I tried to get it back, and she kicked my hat off. Imagine.
My goodness, Jack, you don't mean to say that a little old lady took a big washing machine away from you.
Don, I wouldn't have minded that so much, but it was a demonstrator. I'll probably never get my laundry back. That is my own fault, I guess, for waiting so long to shop. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Doll.
Doll? Well, look who's so affectionate around Christmas. You're certainly giving out with that soft soap.
Oh, no, I'm not, Jack.
You're not, eh? Then why did you call me Doll?
Because your hair is glued on.
All right, young lady, that did it. There goes that mink coat I was going to buy you for a present.
You were going to buy me a mink coat?
Yes, I were. Or was. I was going to buy you a mink coat.
I bet it were, or was, from Rabbit.
Oh, no, it wasn't. You've lost a very beautiful gift. And you know the kind I hand out.
Go on, you wouldn't buy Hedy Lamarr a Coca-Cola.
For Christmas? What are you talking about? Let me tell you something, Mary. A girl like Hedy Lamarr could make a playboy out of me. I'd buy her quarts of bubbling champagne.
You'd buy cider and put an Alka-Seltzer in it.
All right, keep it up. There goes Don's Christmas present, too.
Hey, wait a minute, Jack. I didn't say anything.
Oh, pardon me. I got a little mixed up there.
Watch out, Don. He's laying for you.
No, I wouldn't forget about Don's present. Not after the way he laughed at the premiere last Tuesday night. How'd you like the picture, Don?
Oh, I really enjoyed it, Jack. I got a big kick out of it.
I laugh like anything.
Sorry, Mary. The mink coat is over the dam. Anyway, Don, now that you've seen Love Thy Neighbor, what do you think of Fred Allen in it?
Well, to tell you the truth, Jack...
I mean, don't you feel that I get much bigger laughs than he does?
Well, to tell you the truth, Jack, I think you're very good in the picture and so is Allen. The honors are equally distributed.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Oh.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Mary. Then, Don, in your fat-headed opinion... You think Allen goes over as good as I do.
Exactly. You both have a lot to do in the picture, you both photograph well, and you both get big laughs.
Well, we both don't pay your salary, so start leaning my way. Imagine saying we photograph equally well.
That's ridiculous. Jack looked much better than Allen.
Why, certainly.
And Allen you can have.
Mary, one more crack out of you, and you'll be saying, oh, my goodness, I left my baby in the automat for Olson and Johnson. Remember that. Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Well, old pal, you got nothing to worry about. I got your Christmas present bought, packed, and ready to hand over.
Oh, so you've been shopping too, eh, Phil?
You said it. All day yesterday, one store after another.
Well, did the women kick you around much?
Yeah, but I got it coming to me.
You said it. You know, Phil, I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to buy your present yet. What did you get for me?
I ain't saying. You'll have to wait till Christmas.
Oh, come on, Phil. Tell me.
All right, Jackson, I'll tell you what I bought you. Remember that camel's hair overcoat we saw in the window on Fifth Avenue? The one you were so nuts about?
Yeah?
Well, I got you a box of nuts.
Oh, well, Phil, unless you're kidding... When Mary is in the audience stooging for Olson and Johnson, you'll be in the lobby trying to get out of a straitjacket. Catch on?
The way I've been going the last few nights, a straitjacket wouldn't be bad.
He's not fooling, folks. You know, Phil lives on the 18th floor of the St. Moritz Hotel, and he never uses the elevator. He just goes in and out the window. Now, Phil...
Yeah?
It's about a little quicker on the yeah. You know, when I say now, Phil, you come right back. Yeah, there's no laugh when I say now, Phil, you know. Yeah. It's about time for a band number, so let's have it. What are you going to play?
I don't know. This bunch don't speak English.
Oh, fine. Well, don't worry about it, Phil. Just pick up your baton and follow him. Go ahead, kid. Jingle Bells, played by Phil Harris and his Central Park troubadours. Troubadours meaning they are traveling musicians, and Central Park meaning they ought to get a room tonight. That joke went over better the first show. Shows you we should change for the night show. What a gang you picked up here, Phil, huh?
Well, music is just a sideline with these boys.
I know. And I wish you'd tell the drummer to stop pestering me. I've got all the potato peelers I need. Those guys sell everything from razor blades to mink coats.
Ha-ha!
What are you a-hoing about? Fink, the fiddle player, has wonderful mink. I saw him.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Dennis.
Boy, am I a wreck. Women, women, nothing but women.
Oh, have you been shopping, too?
No, I just came from Roseland.
Oh, 10 cents a dance, eh?
Yeah, I cleaned up.
Dennis, I hear that you and Kenny Baker have been stepping out and seeing the town together. Is that right?
Yeah, and you know what, Mr. Benny?
What?
The other night, I made him pay for everything. I stuck him for $2.45.
You did? Well, now, Dennis, that's not very nice. If Kenny is kind enough to show you a good time, the least you can do is go 50-50. Or better still, pay all the expenses yourself. It's all right to save money, Dennis, but there's nothing like being a good sport. What's that for, Miss Livingston?
Everybody else knows.
That's so. You see, Dennis, there's only one way to be popular. When you're out with a fella and he reaches for the check, you take it first. And if he should pick it up, you grab it right out of his hand. Grab it.
I can't stand this.
Mary, come back here.
Okay.
What's the matter with you? Dennis is just a kid, and while he's still young, he's got to be taught how to conduct himself in public and not be a cheapskate.
I don't understand you, Mr. Benny.
No, you don't? I don't understand you, Mr. Benny. I don't understand. Well, look, Dennis, I'll explain it to you. Dennis, we'll go out for a bite to eat after the broadcast, and I'll show you what I mean. I'll pick up the check, and you take it away from me. See? Then I'll take it away from you, and then you take it away from me.
Then what?
That's all, Bob.
Mary, I warned you. Cut it out, kid.
Hey, Jackson.
Yes, Phil.
My band number's over, and I still got a lot of Christmas shopping to do. Do you mind if I run along?
Why, no, Phil. In fact, I think I'll go with you. There are a lot of things I got to get myself. Don, you can take charge of the rest of the program, can't you?
Oh, sure, sure. Don't worry about it, Jack.
Come on with us, Mary. I want you to help me pick out a few things.
Okay, but don't embarrass me.
I won't. You know, there's a swell store near my hotel, the Sherry Netherlands, where I can buy almost... Wait a minute. Answer the phone, Mary.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, Miss Livingston. This is Rochester.
Oh, boy, are you going to get us. Jack, it's Rochester.
Rochester.
All right, let's take a break from the Jack Benny program, December 22nd, 1940, Good Christmas Show with Jack and all the gang, sponsored by J-E-L-L-O. It's heard on NBC. We'll get back to the Jack Benny program in just a few minutes. Don't go away. Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater, 1237 on a Sunday. Happy Sunday, Lisa.
Happy Sunday. Carl. Hi, Roger.
Happy
well,
Sunday.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
Got doing your southern great. Accent on there, Roger?
No, just happy to see you.
Just a happy day.
That's a happy, snowy...
Is it snowing already?
Well, not
no,
yet.
It's not
no.
Snowing.
No. You'll be home asleep, tucked in your warm little bed.
My warm big
snow,
bed, thank you.
Warm big bed.
Lisa It'll... doesn't sleep. She stays up. She's an alien.
Really?
She was never...
Oh, no, I love
She's
to sleep.
She's an alien from another planet.
Okay.
She doesn't sleep.
I'm a good sleeper.
She just picks out classic radio shows to play.
Well, that
here.
Puts me right to sleep.
And thank you again, Carl, for this week's classic radio
Ooh,
show.
That was, did you hear it? Yeah. Did you listen to it? Suspense Ooh. with Gene Kelly.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Good choice.
So, folks, Roger's talking about this free radio classics website. Just sign up and get an email from me every single Monday that has a classic radio show. This last Monday was a good show. In fact, I listened to it the other night. I was laying in bed, and I listened to, because I get it sent to me, too. and it had Gene Kelly. It was To Find Help on Suspense, a good one.
The Suspense program was great on its own.
Oh, yeah.
But then they had awesome standouts every so often, just like even better than the best.
He was really good in that show.
Yeah.
So, folks, it's freeradioclassics.com. Put your name and your email address, and you'll get 52 emails from me every year. Every Monday, you'll get an email with a classic radio show. Plus, there was a nice picture of Gene Kelly in that email. You saw that, right, Roger?
Mm-hmm.
And then the synopsis of the show, the date, all that. Good classic radio show sent to you every Monday. Just go to freeradioclassics.com. All right, it's time now for the conclusion to this Christmas program with Jack Benny.
Give me that phone. Now I'll find out right now where he's been for the past 2 weeks. Hello?
Oh, boss, what happened to you? Where you been?
Where have I been? I've been on the phone for the last 10 days trying to reach you. I called every hotspot in Harlem that's got a telephone.
At the hot one, you can't hear it ring.
Rochester, I don't want any flippancies. I want the truth. Now, we arrived in New York a week ago Thursday.
The 12th, they tell me.
Yes, the 12th. It is now December 22nd, just 3 days before Christmas.
Happy Yuletide, boys!
Never mind that. What I want to know is, what became of the time between December 12th when we got here and December 22nd, which is today?
Well, on Friday the 13th, I was right up to the door of your hotel, ready to go to work.
Uh-huh.
And just as I was about to enter, a black cat ran across my path.
I see. Well, couldn't you walk around the cat?
I did, and wound up at 125th Street.
Oh, well, so much for Friday. Now, what happened on Saturday and Sunday?
Our weekend ended up to Harlem.
Up a Hudson, that
up
is.
Hudson.
Take it again. How did I know when he's on the other side of the telephone? Well, we'll get to Monday. I must be psychic. Then we'll get to Monday. After your weekend, Rochester, why didn't you call me at my hotel?
I was so full of sherry, I couldn't think of Netherlands.
Now, don't give me that. Look, Rochester, I haven't any more time to argue with you. Where are you calling from?
What's that, boss?
I said, where are you right now?
Just a minute. What's the address here, sugar?
31 Lenox Avenue, honey.
31 Lenox Avenue, honey.
Rochester, who are you talking to?
Susan Brown, the sweetest gal in town.
Oh, yeah, I spoke to her last week and left a message for you. Did you get it?
Just a minute. Honey, did you give me a message from Mr. Benny?
Why, Rochester, you knows I did.
She forgot to give it to me, boy.
Oh, she forgot to give it to you, eh?
Yeah, she's as dizzy as a blonde, but it can't happen here.
Now, Rochester, I want you to go over to my hotel right away. That made up for the one you muffed. I want you to go over to my hotel right away. There's a lot of work to do, and it's got to be done before tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Now, how soon can you get over there?
Just a minute, boss. Say, sugar, I don't think I'll be able to take you to the Savoy Ballroom tonight.
Oh, that's all right, honey. I'll get somebody else.
You better not get somebody else.
I ain't going up there alone, Rochester. I want somebody to snuggle up to.
You get somebody to snuggle up to, and it'll be your last snug.
Rochester.
And I do mean last.
You threaten me, shorty, and I'll cut them $9 out of your hip pocket.
Rochester, Rochester, answer me. I want you to come right over to my hotel.
Leaving right away, boss. So long.
Goodbye.
Now, listen, sugar, don't make any date. I'll run over to see Mr. Benny, put on the old personality, and be back here in a half hour.
Rochester, you forgot to hang up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss.
I heard your conversation.
Don't you believe it?
Get over here. Goodbye. I'm the same trouble with that guy every time I come to New York. Come on, Mary, let's go shopping while I'm mad.
Yeah, that'll hold you down.
Let's go, Phil. Right with you, Jackson.
All right, Dennis, let's have your song.
What a crowd. Stick close to me, Phil. You too, Mary. I don't want you to get lost.
Okay, Papa.
Are you going to take us to see Santa Claus, Daddy? Pipe down, both of you. Got to have some system here. Now, let's see my Christmas list. I got to buy a compact or something for my Aunt Molly. A lawnmower for Dennis. A Mickey for my rider. See... A deck of cards for Simney. Let's see, what else here?
Gee, look at that crowd of women at the bargain counter.
Where? Oh, boy, what a mob.
See you later, Jackson. I'm going over and mingle.
See you later. Gosh, I wish I knew what to get for Aunt Molly. Mary, I wonder if she could use a lipstick.
Has she got lips?
What do you think? She got lips. Here's a counter.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I'd like a lipstick, please.
Oh, come now.
Look, it's not for me. I'm buying it for my Aunt Molly.
I see.
A lipstick for your Aunt Molly. That's who it's for. She lives in Chicago on LaSalle Street. What number? I don't know the number. Oh, you don't know the number, and yet you want to send a lipstick to your Aunt Molly. I'm not going to send it. I'm going to take it to her. I'm going to stop off in Chicago on my way to California. Oh, I suppose you're the only one that ever went to California. What are you talking about? I live in California. I got a home there. Well, I've got a home here, but I don't brag about it. I wasn't bragging. Now, look, mister, all I want is a lipstick. Am I going to get it or not? Sorry, I've decided against you. Next case, please. If the guy isn't screwy, then I don't know why. More trouble over a lipstick. Mary, I ought to go over to the grocery department and get Don a case of Jell-O. He'll love it for Christmas.
Why don't you get two cases so you can fill a stocking?
I'll get all the six flavors. That'll do it. And Mary, while we're in the store, I think I'll buy a collar button. I need one.
Yeah, your Adam's apple ain't practical.
It's just an emergency. I lost a button. There's the men's department over there.
Pardon me. Could you tell me where I can buy an evening gown so I should look like Lena Turner?
Miss, that's Lana Turner.
Lena, Lana, I'll never make it.
Well, I'm sorry, miss. I'm Jack Benny. I'm not a floor walker.
I saw your picture. Get ready.
She looks like Babe Marx. Come on, Mary, let's get that collar button. I haven't got much time.
You'd have plenty of time if you stopped flirting with that girl.
Who was flirting? She thought I was a floor walker, didn't she?
Well, you didn't have to roll your big blue eyes at her.
Mary, just because my eyes happen to be large and devil may care it, don't have to accuse me of flirting. Here we are.
Good evening, sir. What can I do for you?
I'd like to buy a collar button.
A collar button? Yes, sir. Now, here's a nice one for $85.
$85 for a collar button?
Yes, that includes dress shirt, tie, socks, patent leather shoes, and a double-breasted tuxedo.
Well, that's a good buy, all right, but all I want is a collar button.
Sorry, we never break up a set.
Now, that's ridiculous. You know, mister, I've shopped in every city in the United States, but I've never been in a store like this. I tried to buy some lipstick a few minutes ago.
Lipstick? Oh, come now.
It sounds silly, but I had a good reason. And the salesman at that counter insulted me.
Oh, Jack, look.
What is it?
Look who's over there at that counter.
Where?
Right there. Isn't that Kenny Baker buying a camera?
Well, sure enough, it is Kenny. Let's go over and say hello.
Gee, miss, this camera looks swell. I think I'll take it. How much is it?
$3.
$3? Gee, Dennis would like it all right, but haven't you got something for 55 cents?
Well, yes, but I thought you wanted to spend $3.
I do, but he's already hooked me for $2.45.
Oh, Kenny.
Hello, Kenny. Huh?
Oh, well, I'll be doggone. Hello, Jack. How are you, Mary? Gee, I'm glad to see you.
Kenny, I haven't seen you in a long time. Hey, you're getting to be a big boy now.
I sure am. You want a cigar, Jack?
Oh, my goodness. Look, Mary, he's got a whole pocket full of cigars.
Yeah, I had them left over from Wilkie.
Oh, fine. Same old Kenny.
How about a little kiss, Mary?
Okay.
Big boy, all right. Cigars and everything. Huh? All right, kids, break it up. Come on.
Wow, he has grown up.
Say, that was a real kiss, huh?
Personally, I'm a wreck.
Well, pull yourself together. Come on with us, Kenny. You can buy your camera later. I want to talk to you.
Okay.
I'll see you later. I got to buy some hose.
All right, so long, Mary. Say, Kenny, how do you like your new job? See, that Fred Allen is pretty tough to work for, isn't he?
No, he's swell. We get along great together.
Oh.
And you know what, Jack? Mr. Allen pays me every week.
Does, eh?
Yep.
Pays you every week.
Yeah, none of that see me later kid stuff.
Well, you must have a pretty short memory, Kenny. I used to have that envelope for you every week, too.
Yeah, but with Mr. Allen, I don't have to play treasure hunt.
Oh, well, good, clean sport. Never hurt anybody. Say, Kenny.
Yes, please?
Oh, fine. Say, Kenny, I just happened to think of something. Remember the time you first came to work for me and I invited you over to the house for a Thanksgiving party?
Yeah.
I'll never forget how bashful you were. Do you remember I asked you if you wanted to have some more turkey?
Yeah, and I was so darn nervous I said yes.
Oh, that turkey wasn't so bad.
Have you got much left?
Same old Kenny. God, I'll never forget the time. Kenny, remember when it was Halloween and I didn't know you were in the backyard?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I heard a noise at the window, and there you were. Wasn't that fun?
Merry Christmas. See you Wednesday, Miss Benny.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Jack Benny program. Good program from 1940, December 22nd. Christmas show sponsored by Jell-O with all the gang. Lisa, I hope you enjoyed that. Stick around. Much more programming coming your way on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. This is the WGN Radio Theater partner. You ready to...
Howdy, partner.
Ready to get a posse together and... search for all those classic radio shows, Lisa.
Yes, Carl.
Don't tell me now. Was this song? Yeah, yes, it's a great song by Johnny Cash. Was this song in
Ring of Fire?
Yeah, no, I know this song is Ring of Fire, but was it in the movie Pee Wee Herman? Did he do that? Did he do a dance to this, or was it something similar?
I have no idea. I'm not really a Pee Wee Herman fan.
I'm with her.
Pee Wee Herman was great.
Yeah.
Close.
What was that?
That was Olive's Pee Wee Herman impersonation.
That's really good. Oh. I know. I'm talented.
She's good.
She's going on. She's going to go on America's Got Talent and do her Pee Wee Herman impersonation. I'll put my money on her to win. The whole thing.
What money?
Do you want me to audition for you right now?
Yes. Let's hear it.
That's it.
That's pretty darn good.
That's really good, Alan.
What do you do for your second week, though?
You know, she'll do the dance.
Okay.
She'll do the Pee Wee Herman dance.
I'll do the dance.
All right. So in this hour, it's a terrific episode of Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. You will not want to miss it. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the TV series Designated Survivor and becomes president of the U.S. after a devastating attack.
All right.
And the winner gets the Christmas package, which includes a Lightkeeper Pro and a Scentkeeper.
All right. And it's brought to you by Santa Claus. He brings it right to your house.
Exactly.
312-981-7200. That's the number to call. Here's a hint. This actor starred in The Lost Boys.
How are those maggots? Maggots, Michael. You're eating maggots. How do they taste?
Ooh, delicious. 312-981-7200. Who's that actor? We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. Let's play some Celebrity Scoop.
How are those maggots? Maggots, Michael. You're eating maggots. How do they taste?
Delicious.
Hey, Warren from Mount Prospect. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you tonight?
Good. Great. Glad to hear from you. And we're wondering if you recognize that actor.
I do. That would be Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland is the right answer. And you are a winner, Warren. You've won the Christmas package. It includes a Lightkeeper Pro, your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets, and a Scentkeeper for a real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree. Visit LightkeeperPro.com. Hey, thanks so much for calling in. I love Mount Prospect.
Thanks, Warren. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you, buddy. All right, and Santa Claus, for an extra charge, Santa Claus will deliver that Lightkeeper Pro.
Why is it an extra charge?
Well,
it should be included.
Listen, he's got to make a living too, Lisa. You know? I mean, he's not independently wealthy like you.
Yeah, but he's in Mount Prospect, so I think it should be free delivery.
He doesn't drive a Rolls Royce like you do.
Yeah, well, what
Lisa
can I say?
Lisa has two Rolls, a Maybach, and a Bentley.
A what? Well, I've got a different driver for each car,
he's not as wealthy as you are.
How do you know?
It's time for Richard Diamond, Private Detective, a great series. This was a series created by Blake Edwards, who later directed the Pink Panther movies, and married Julie Andrews. Blake Edwards did. Not bad.
Not bad.
This was on NBC from 1949 to 1953, and it starred crooner Dick Powell as tough private eye Richard Diamond. And Philip Marlowe, he played Philip Marlowe in the movies in Murder, My Sweet, and he did such a great job on that. They said, hey, he can play Richard Diamond on radio. He loved ribbing the cops and singing songs to his millionaire's girlfriend, Helen Asher, played by Virginia Gregg. And the theme, I always thought this was fascinating, the theme to this series, Leave It to Love, was actually whistled by Powell. You'll hear him whistling it on this show. So let's tune in to an episode now, Christmas episode, from Christmas Eve of 1949. They recreate a Christmas carol on this. Here's Dick Powell and all the gang on Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Here's Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Hello there, this is Diamond. Well, it's Christmas Eve, and every year about this time, my business takes a big nosedive. People usually pack up their troubles and start unpacking colored lights and Christmas tree ornaments. So tonight, instead of telling you about one of my hair-raising exploits, we're going to tell you a Christmas story. So with apologies to Mr. Charles Dickens, we'd like to bring you an adaptation of one of his most famous stories, A Christmas Carol. Now, I'd better explain something first. This version isn't exactly the way you've heard it many times before. Because the particular type of characters I usually get mixed up with, this story is written to fit their talents and characteristics. Different from the Dickens original, certainly, but we feel that this story could easily happen today, anywhere. Like maybe right here in New York on a little side street just off the Bowery. So now I'd like to introduce our characters. Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge will be played by my good friend and guiding hand of the 5th Precinct Homicide Division.
Lieutenant Walter Levinson.
Walter?
Otis.
The character of Jacob Marley will be played by one of my dearest friends and constant companions.
Otis, that's you.
Huh? Oh, Sergeant Otis Loveloon.
Loveloon.
Watch.
Oh, sorry, Helen. Tiny Tim will be played by our corner newsboy.
Johnny Rollins.
Tiny Tim's mother will be played by my red-headed gal friend.
Helen Asher.
The rest of the characters will be played by members of the 5th Precinct Police Station.
Officer O'Reilly.
Officer Lund.
Officer Lefkowitz.
Sergeant Miller.
The music will be furnished by the 5th Precinct Police Band, directed by Patrolman Worth. And now, our version of the Christmas classic, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Once upon a time, there was a nasty old guy named Ebenezer Scrooge. He was nasty, all right. He didn't like anything, except maybe all the dough he could get his hands on. Scrooge had a little business that he started with his partner, Jacob Marley. The outfit was known as Scrooge and Marley Loan Company. But one day, poor old Marley just up and keeled over. So the boys along the big street gave him a nice funeral, and old Scrooge took over the business. Well, Marley had been dead for 7 years, and Scrooge lived alone in his little room over the office. And for a hobby, he hated everybody. He had a young guy working for him by the name of Bob Cratchit. Bob had a wife and 4 kids and made just enough to make ends meet. Scrooge used to ride him all the time. When it got so cold the polar bears complained, Cratchit would turn on the little heater, and Scrooge would say,
Cratchit, what do you think you're doing?
Turn on the heat, that's what I'm doing. My fingers look like popsicles.
Well, I don't care if they come in 6 delicious flavors. Every time you turn on that heater, it costs me money. Business is not good, so get back to your work and turn off the heat.
Oh, now look, Mr. Scrooge, I'm freezing. This pen ain't guaranteed to write under ice.
I tell you once more, get back to your work.
Okay, Mr. Scrooge. I don't know why you worry about business. Why not just put up a sign? Turn the joint into a skating rink.
Now, this was no time for any decent guy to act like that. It was Christmas Eve. Along about 5 o'clock, into the office came Scrooge's nephew, Fred.
Well, Merry Christmas, Bud.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Fred. You get back to your work, Cratchit.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Oh, swell. Merry Christmas. Humbug.
Humbug?
Yeah, humbug. My old man didn't like Christmas, and that's what he used to say. Humbug.
Okay, humbug. But it's still Christmas, and I don't see where you get off not liking it. This is supposed to be the time everybody gets with it. Everything stops that ain't much good, and you put your arm around the next guy, you tell him Merry Christmas.
I'll put my arm around you with a hammer on the end of it if you don't lay off the goodwill stuff.
Look, what's with you? What have you got against Christmas?
You show me a way to make $100 every Christmas, and I'll fall in love with it. Every time the holidays roll around, nobody pays their bills, and they all run around like they own the Chrysler Building. Look at you. $60 a week, and you're coming on like Rockefeller.
Well, sure, I make a lousy $60, but it ain't easy. But once a year, something happens with everybody in this big world. Well, nearly everybody. Because this is a day that somebody else started to make things right for us, and he had a really tough time doing it. It's more than just remembering. It's feeling. It's all around you. Christmas has got to be merry. Don't you get it?
You want me to be merry?
Well, sure.
Then go get some of these joyous clients of mine to pay off their loans.
The missus asked me to invite you over for dinner tomorrow.
Now, don't hold your breath.
Okay. Merry Christmas, Bob.
Merry Christmas, Fred.
Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Humbug.
Scrooge went upstairs to his room, the room where Jacob Marley used to stay. It was dark in the little hall, and when Scrooge reached for the door, he looked up at the big brass knocker and saw...
Holy cow! I could have sworn that was old Jake's face in the knocker. I must be working too hard.
So in he went. A little shaky after seeing Jake Marley's face, but he just passed it off his nerves. He closed the door and locked it, then went over and sat down in front of the fireplace. He got a fire going and started to relax. But every tile around the fireplace started looking like Jake Marley's face.
Oh, now, come on, Abe, old boy. You got to get hold of yourself. This is ridiculous. And I haven't touched a drop in weeks.
He got up and walked around the room a few times and went back and sat down again. He stretched, rested his head on the back of the chair. From somewhere, a bell started chiming and Scrooge sat straight up in his chair. He heard something else, too. Something from downstairs.
What the... Oh, now, what is that? What's going on? Who's that? Come on, who's out there?
Then all of a sudden, it came right through the wall.
Marley! Jake Marley! Oh, no, no! I got to stop eating lobster. Oh, it couldn't be. Hey, what's with you? Who are you?
Jake Marley. Who else?
You're dead.
The deadest. But nevertheless, Jake Marley...
His ghost.
You're very sharp today, Scrooge, old boy.
I don't believe it.
You got eyes, ain't you?
Yeah, and I got a bad stomach, too. That's who you are. Nothing but a bad case of indigestion.
You don't think I'm a ghost, huh? Okay, maybe a good scare will change your mind.
Whoa! Oh, no, 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 no. Stay away from me. I believe you.
You sold on the idea?
Yeah, but why do you got to come to see me?
Regulations. Every man is supposed to live his life and help his buddies. If he don't do it while he's alive, then he's got to do it after he kicks off. Oh!
Now, stop that. Hey, what's with all those chains and things you got wrapped around you?
Oh, these? Well, this here chain is like my life. Each one of these links is something I did wrong.
But why do you have to hold it around with you? Why don't you check it someplace?
Scrooge, old boy, when we was in business together... I never took time out to do any good. I just kept making a buck and figured that was enough. Well, now I got to pay for it. I got to haul this chain around and try to make up for all the things I didn't do when I was alive.
But why come to me?
Because you're going to end up just like me unless we do something in a hurry. Now, I haven't got much time, so you better listen.
Oh, I don't want to be like you. I'll listen.
Okay. You're going to have three visitors. you're gonna be haunted by three spirits.
Oh, no.
It's the only way you can keep from being like me. When you hear that bell strike one, the first one will be here. Well, I got to be going. You won't see me again, but you remember what I told you. So long, Scrooge, old boy. Your goosebumps can relax now.
After the ghost took off, Scrooge just refused to believe it.
Nuts. It's ridiculous. Humbug.
Then he climbed into the sack and was soon snoring up a storm. When Scrooge awoke, it was still dark, and the bell from the church on 53rd Street was striking 12. He laid awake listening and thinking to himself.
Just a dream. Ghosts. Bah!
Finally, he dropped off again and slept for about an hour. Then the big bell struck one.
1 o'clock and I don't see no ghost. I knew it was something I ate.
All of a sudden, a big light flashed in the room. The first of the spirits stood before him.
Oh, Jake was right. Are you the first spirit that Jake said would come to haunt me?
Yeah, you know it.
Well, who are you?
Me? I'm the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah? How long past?
Your past. Come on, we're going to take a walk.
Oh, where are we going?
Just relax. I'm running this tour.
Oh, well, let me get my pants.
You got them.
Hey, they're on me.
With that, the ghost of Christmas Past grabbed Scrooge by the hand, and they both flew out of the window. Scrooge nearly lost his upper plate. But before he could yell for help, he was standing in front of a dirty, ramshackle old tenement building.
You know where you are?
Sure, I know where I am. This is where I was brought up. Even the garbage cans are the same.
You had a pretty tough time when you were a kid, didn't you?
The toughest. I wasn't very big, and the rest of the kids in the neighborhood were. I had more black eyes than a crow.
You want to go in?
What for?
To see your folks.
My folks died a long time ago.
They're in there now. Come on.
Well, the ghost took old Scrooge into the building and showed him a Christmas years past when he was a child with his family. Sure, it was tough living in two little rooms like that, but Scrooge remembered how wonderful it really was.
What's the matter, Scrooge?
Huh? Oh, got something in my eye.
You were pretty lonely when your folks... When they...
Yeah. You know... There was a young kid that came around earlier this evening and sang some carols. I wish...
Yeah, what do you wish?
Oh, nothing.
Come on. I want to show you another Christmas.
The spirit showed him another Christmas and still another. And you know, no matter how tough Scrooge remembered his childhood had been, it always seemed that Christmas was wonderful. Then the spirit took him to a building down by the river where Scrooge got his first job. They went inside, and seated behind a desk, Scrooge spotted...
Fezziwig! Well, I'll be darned. It's old Fezziwig alive again. And there's Dick Wilkins. He was a good boy. We got along great. He liked me.
Okay, everybody, it's Christmas Eve. You can knock off and have yourself a good time. You better lock up, Dick.
Sure, right away, Mr. Fezziwig.
And don't look so unhappy, Ebenezer. It's Christmas. Come on home with me and tear into a big turkey. All locked up, Dick?
Yes, sir.
Ready, Ebenezer?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go and have Merry Christmas, you two.
Yeah. Merry Christmas,
Mr. Fezziwig.
Merry Christmas.
All right, let's take a break from this Christmas Carol starring Dick Powell on Richard Diamond, Private Detective from 1949. More coming your way after these words. 1:35 in the morning. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing some disco instead of classic radio. That's what we're going to do. We're going to have another show.
Lisa. The disco show.
We're going to do a show like during like Sunday afternoons, just disco.
Just
me
disco.
And Lisa and
well,
Roger.
Well, it won't
and
be
Ella.
At WGN. I can tell you that. Something tells me.
Why?
I don't know. Just something tells me it won't be here.
Michael Jackson.
Yes, I'm familiar.
What a concert. I saw this concert. I saw his, Was it Bad? Yeah, I saw his Bad concert, and then I saw his a Thriller concert.
Oh, Thriller.
Oh man.
I saw
amazing.
The Thriller concert. I think it was on like a WTTW, like our PBS special.
At the Rosemont Horizon before they changed the name of it.
Yeah.
It was called the Rosemont Horizon
yeah,
at that time.
Yeah, I remember
time.
It.
Yeah, he was amazing. All right, so we're listening to a very, very good episode of Richard Diamond, Private Detective. From December 24th, 1949, here's the conclusion to A Christmas Carol on Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Then the spirit took Scrooge over to Fezziwig's house, and they saw the wonderful party that Mrs. Fezziwig had gotten together. Scrooge watched and remembered, and the spirit said,
"Wasn't Fezziwig a stupid, sentimental old goat?"
"Oh, yeah? Well, let me tell you something. He was a great guy, he was. You know..."
"What, Scrooge?"
"I was just thinking about Bob Cratchit, who works for me. I think I'd like to do something for him. You know, he's got a wife and four kids."
"Is that right?"
"Yeah, four kids. Come on, I've seen enough."
"Okay, but you gotta see these things if you want to get squared away. And believe me, brother, you need squaring away. Let's go home, Scrooge."
Before he knew it, Scrooge was back in his little room and the spirit was gone. Scrooge was pretty beat, and he climbed in the bed and dropped into a heavy sleep.
"Huh? What's that? It's 2 o'clock. Hey, that light in the other room. I got burglars."
"Hey, Scrooge! Scrooge, come on in!"
"Who's that? What are you doing in the other room?"
"Come on in, take a look. It's pretty nifty."
"Hey, what is this? What have you done to the room? It looks like Macy's window. Where'd you get all the holly and the mistletoe? And how'd you get it in here?"
"You like it?"
"Oh, for Pete's sake, a Christmas tree. Who are you?"
"The ghost of Christmas present. Now, don't tell me you don't like the way I fix things up. I work pretty hard."
"Oh, the second ghost. Okay, take me wherever you want to go, but believe me, the next time I try the train."
"Come on, let's go." "Now, what do you see?"
"Oh, I see bright colored lights, people having a lot of fun, kids on sleighs."
"See that building over there, the one with the big wreath on the front door?"
"I got 2020. That's where Bob Cratchit lives. He works for me. Hey, look. There's Bob now."
"Yes, going into the house. Up all those stairs to the fifth floor. And he's got his little boy on his back.
Tiny Tim."
"Yeah, got polio last summer. Pretty sick little boy."
"I know. Bob said he'd need a lot of care if he was ever going to walk again."
"Let's take a peek."
"Hi."
"Hello, honey. You and Tim have a good time?"
"Best. Didn't we, Tim?"
"Yeah, Dad. We watched all the kids on the block on their sleds. Mom, will I ever be able to ride a sled?" "Of course, Tim. Won't he, dear?"
"Sure thing, Roughneck. Next Christmas, you'll be out there doing belly whoppers with the rest of them."
"Dad, what's the matter? Your eyes are all wet."
"Nothing, Tim. I just got some snow in them."
"Want some dinner, Tim?" "Oh, Mom, stew for Christmas?" "I'm sorry, Tim." "Oh, that's okay, Mom. I like stew." "Bob, will you please say grace?" "Can I say something first, Mom?" "Of course, Tim. What would you like to say?" "God bless us, everyone."
"What's the matter, Scrooge, old boy? Got some snow in your eyes, too?"
"Tell me something."
"Sure, if I can."
"What about Tiny Tim?"
"Oh, can't say for sure. But if his old man makes enough money next year to get the right doctors, little Tim will get along just fine. But times are tough, aren't they, Scrooge?"
"Yeah."
Now the spirit of Christmas present took Scrooge to many places and showed him a lot of happiness and a lot of misery. And finally, back to his little room, the spirit was gone.
"Oh, I don't know whether I can take much more of this."
Then a new ghost drifted in. This was the worst yet. He was really done up for haunting. He was all dressed in black with one arm sticking out and pointing right at poor old Scrooge. This was the last one of the spirits. Scrooge's knees sounded like castanets on a reducing machine.
Okay, okay, you don't have to tell me. You're the ghost of the Christmas that hasn't come yet. You, I'm really scared of.
The ghost took off as Scrooge right after him. The city disappeared, and Scrooge found himself in the outskirts of town, standing in a graveyard. The night was howling like it was mad. And as Scrooge looked down, he saw...
Hey, what's this? What's this stone?
The black spirit stood still and pointed, so Scrooge leaned down and pulled away the bushes and saw it was a tombstone.
Oh, there's a name here. Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, no, no. Look, not this. Believe me, I don't want this. I know I've done wrong, but I'm not kidding. I really know what Christmas means. It doesn't mean just today or tomorrow. It's every day. Every day of your life. I swear I'll do better. Only take me away from this. Let me try. Let me try to make Christmas right for me and everybody else. Please don't let this happen. Give me another chance. Well, don't just stand there. Put your arm back in. You'll catch cold. Well, say something.
Suddenly, Scrooge dropped to his knees and reached out for the spirit. But something happened. The spirit started to shrink. Then it collapsed. And when Scrooge looked up...
What the hell? My bedpost. My own bedpost. I'm home. Oh, thank goodness. I lived the past and the present and the future, and now I'm home. Hallelujah. Spirits, wherever you are, believe me. From now on, things are going to be different. Oh, yeah. And thanks. Hey, boy!
Yeah?
What day is this?
It's Christmas! What's with you?
Christmas? Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, I haven't missed it. The spooks did it all in one night. Boy!
Yeah? Oh, it's you, Mr. Scrooge.
How many papers have you got?
I don't know. Why?
Well, here's $5. Throw them away and go have yourself a Merry Christmas.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Scrooge. And a Merry Christmas to you.
Hey, boy, say that again.
Thanks?
No, 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 the other.
You mean Merry Christmas?
Yeah, that's it. Merry Christmas.
Okay, okay, I'm coming. What's the matter with you? Can't you see the store's closed? Look, mister, this is... Eb, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Merry Christmas, Barney.
Huh? Hey, you've been drinking?
Not a drop. Well, what's the matter with you? Ain't you going to wish me a Merry Christmas?
Wish? Sure. Come on in. Wife's upstairs with her mother, but I got a bottle in the back. I think maybe you better have something strong.
Look, your grocery store's closed, but you could still sell me a turkey, couldn't you?
Well, I don't know. Well,
you got a couple? They'll just go to waste.
What do you want a turkey for? You've been eating at the Automat every Christmas for the last 7 years.
Oh, it's not for me. But nevertheless, I have been invited to my nephew Fred's house for a Christmas dinner.
Well, then who's the bird for?
Bob Cratchit. You know, the young guy that works for me.
Oh, yeah. How much you gonna charge him?
Here's $20. That ought to be enough for the bird.
No. It ain't worth that much. You sure you ain't been into something?
Well, if it's too much, give the rest to your kid and have him deliver the turkey to Cratchit's house.
Huh?
Here's the address, and don't tell Cratchit who sent the thing, okay?
Okay.
Merry Christmas, Barney.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Well, old Scrooge went back to his rooms and took out an old blue suit out of the mothballs. He shook it out, put a few creases in it, went out into the street. The old boy was really with it. Everybody he passed, he greeted them with,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Eh? Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Scrooge went to church and gave a large donation, and Father McCarthy nearly forgot his sermon. And then Scrooge went out on the street again and down into the Bowery.
God bless you, sir, and a Merry Christmas.
Isn't it, though?
He kept walking and having a great time. Later that afternoon, he arrived at his nephew's house.
Well, what the... Merry Christmas, Fred. I've come to dinner.
Oh, my gosh.
Here, I brought you some presents.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, don't thank me. It's Christmas, remember?
Oh, my gosh.
Next morning, Scrooge was early at the office. If he could just catch Cratchit coming in late. And he did. Bob was a good 21 minutes late.
Cratchit?
Oh, no.
You're 21 minutes late.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Scrooge. I had a big evening last night.
You did, huh? You know what I told you if I caught you fancy-footing in here late again?
Okay, so I'm canned.
You think you got it coming?
Oh, I'm too tired to argue, Mr. Scrooge. Jobs are tough enough, and I hate to lose this one, but I'm just too tired.
A raise would help, huh?
That's the silliest question of the year.
Then you got it. It's in that envelope.
Well, what?
Yeah, and maybe after we see how the funds are, we can do something about Tiny Tim.
No, I don't get it. A raise? You want to do something about Tim? I don't get it.
Sure you do, Bob. Haven't you heard? It's Christmas. Now, go on home, take the day off. Take the week off.
Oh.
Come back when you feel like it. Merry Christmas.
Mr. Scrooge?
Yeah?
Merry Christmas.
And Scrooge really did it. He was as good as his word, better even. He made it the merriest Christmas ever. And later, things got better, and he took care of Tiny Tim. And sure enough, Tim was out on his sled the next Christmas, doing belly whoppers with the best of them. Every Christmas thereafter, all along the big street, it was said, if anyone knew how to make Christmas merry, old Ebenezer Scrooge was that one.
And I hope that can really be said about all of us, just like Tiny Tim said.
God bless us, everyone.
That's right, Tim. God bless us, everyone.
Yes, Helen?
That was wonderful. Not quite the way Dickens wrote it, but it meant the same thing.
Oh, you really like it, baby?
Oh, I loved it. No reason in the world why old Scrooge couldn't have been living right here today. You've got the spirit, and that's what counts. How did you like it, Walt?
Rick, I gotta hand it to you. It was really great.
Lieutenant?
Yeah, what is it, Otis?
How'd I do in the play?
You were magnificent, Sergeant.
You know... I'll bet if I studied for a couple of weeks, I'd get me a part on Broadway. To be or not to be? That's the question.
Oh, no.
Now, Walt, leave him alone.
Oh, sure. Monsieur Otis.
Huh?
Wouldst thou accompany me over to the punch bowl for a short flagon of nectar?
Sure, I wouldst.
See you later, Helen, Rick. Yeah. Come on, Barrymore. Let's see if the punch bowl fits your head.
Oh, aren't they lovely?
You want something to eat?
Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Listen.
They're out here by this window.
Come on, let's go listen.
Oh, the blazing Yule forest, fa la 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 la. Strike the harp and join the chorus, fa la 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 la. Follow me in merry measure, fa la 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 la. While I tell of you thy treasure, fa la 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 la.
Oh, wasn't that wonderful, Rick?
Oh, it sure was.
Rick, sing something with them.
Oh, no, honey, I don't want to lose it.
Please, Rick, come on.
All right. I tell you what I'll do. Everybody usually sings Christmas songs about snow. I'm going to sing one about sunshine. It's called Melikalikimaka.
Melikalikimaka?
Well, it means Merry Christmas in Hawaiian.
In Hawaiian?
Sure, it's a brand new song. They love it over there, and we'll love it here.
Melikalikimaka is the thing to say, and how holy maka he holds. That's our Christmas greeting in Hawaii, and a happy new year too, with the hope that Christmas may be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars that night. Melikalikimaka is Hawaii's way to say Merry Christmas to you.
By day,
Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. And a Merry Christmas to everybody. In Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, radio station WBRE today is celebrating its silver anniversary of serving the people of the coal country with better programming. From all of us in Hollywood, congratulations to NBC affiliate WBRE on 25 years of broadcasting and best wishes for another 25. Dick Powell, as Richard Diamond, private detective, will return to the air at a new day and time, Sunday, January 15th. Till then, this is Eddie King relaying our best wishes for the holiday season. Now hear Home for Christmas and Hop Along Cassidy on NBC.
That's Richard Diamond, private detective from Christmas Eve 1949, starring Dick Powell. And that was a story from the Charles Dickens story, of course, but adapted by Blake Edwards, who went on to direct all of the Pink Panther movies. Terrific talent, and hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, well, you know, because of the holidays, Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, is not going to come in at the end of December. He's going to come in at the end of January and draw two mints and one.
One for December and one for January.
Yeah, for the Cat's Pride contest. So, folks, you should get a picture of your cat into us because it will go into a drawing and you may win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which is a terrific, terrific prize. So just send a picture of your kitty cat into us here. Email it to
catspridephoto@gmail.com. We need your name, your cat's name, your city and state, and we will draw two lucky winners the end of January. So send it in now, and you will be entered for both the December and January drawing.
Absolutely. Get that picture in.
You know what? Dave Player's coming in next. He'll be up at 2 o'clock, and he has a very special interview.
He does.
That he wanted us to plug for him.
Yeah.
So this is a rare exclusive interview with Kelly Stewart Harcourt, who is the daughter of actor Jimmy Stewart, and she will join Dave at 2:20 this morning to celebrate the 70th anniversary of It's a Wonderful Life.
Did you know that he did not like anybody to call him Jimmy?
He didn't like Jimmy.
No,
James?
Did not like Jimmy. People did call him Jimmy Stewart.
Everybody called him Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, no, he liked James.
What, they call him Mark?
Stewart. No, he
they
wanted,
called him Mark. No, I'm sure Mark. They called him a few other things.
No, he wanted to be called James.
James
and
Stewart.
This is going to be a great interview because I'm sure she's going to talk about his career, obviously, as a movie star and TV star and radio star. But he was an incredible war hero. This man was such a patriot, and I hope she talks about his long career in the Army.
You know, there's a Jimmy Stewart Museum, so I'm sure they'll talk about some of the history there.
Yeah, so stay tuned for Dave Plyer. He's up next. And, you know, we every once in a while play Jimmy Stewart radio show. He had his own radio show. Let's see if Roger knows it. Do you know what the name of Jimmy Stewart's? It was a cowboy western show.
Well, he did a lot of cowboys in movies.
Well, but he had his own regular radio series. You know what it was called?
No,
the
don't remember
Six
Shooter.
Shooter. He said it. The Six Shooter. He played Britt Ponsett, which was sort of a folksy Western good guy, mm-hmm. and he would, you know, mosey into a town, and there was always something going on, and he would, you know,
take care of business,
and he had a six gun, and it was had a mother of pearl handle, and people called them both the six shooter, him and his gun.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a cool series.
How long was it on?
Just one season on NBC.
Yeah. Okay.
Came to radio, I think, in about 1953. And we have, I think we're going to play one because there was a Christmas episode. So I think we have one coming up.
I'll see if I can find that in the archives.
Theater. Yeah.
That'd be great.
And just one more quick reminder that we have a website for this show, WGNRadioTheater.com. We have a Facebook. We'd love it if you would go to that Facebook. And please like us and share that with other people. Tell all your friends about this show. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning. Coming up next, you have Dave Plyer. He's interviewing James Stewart's daughter. Not Jimmy Stewart's daughter, James Stewart's daughter.
As you will, but I'll still call him Jimmy Stewart.
James, let me tell you something. Dave Plyer has the best, guests.
I mean, this is a rare exclusive interview. He must be doing something right. He's got a secret.
He has a Rolodex the size. He has a Rolodex the size of this room.
Rolodex.
Dave Plyer.
Yep.
I'm going to be listening.
Got a little black book.
He really does. He really gets great guests.
Yes, he does.
You should see what we're working on for next year.
Oh, what are you working on?
Well,
there he is.
You haven't seen my Facebook post over the last week.
But what? I have.
You have. I'm working on a project.
Oh.
Lisa has seen a bunch of it. I've been doing it in parts because it takes so long to do.
Ah.
But I am finding from shows from the 50s and 60s and early 70s TV shows, actors, the main cast members who are still alive.
Ah.
Not those, because, a lot of people have been complaining this year that too many of our stars have died
right.
this year. It's just been a crazy
year.
Right.
So I'm finding all the ones who are still alive. Do you know that Dobie Gillis is still alive?
Oh, yeah. Dobie Gillis. Sure.
Who was Gilligan? Oh, that was his buddy, right?
That's right.
Bob Denver.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. He's gone.
Maynard G. Krebs.
He gone.
Are we coming up with a list of people we're going to interview, Roger, in the new year? Yeah.
Yeah. I think the list now is about 4 pages long.
I'm hoping some of these people can reach the microphone.
Well, if anyone can do it, Dave can do it.
Yeah, right. There we go.
You have the great, the daughter of the great James Stewart coming up next.
Yeah,
huh?
I heard you say that about that. By the way, I also heard at the end of the radio show that Hopalong Cassidy was coming, so I decided I had plenty of time to come in here, obviously.
Hopalong
Cassidy. Yeah, it's coming up next. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's going to be kind of cool because it was literally something I picked up earlier in the week. I picked up the DVD and it was on tonight on NBC.
I watched it.
Yeah, me too. And it said it was 1946. And I'm thinking, it's the 70th anniversary. I've seen nothing about it anywhere. And his daughter is a anthropology professor at I don't know if it was UCLA or a college in California, and I thought, let's give it a shot, and she responded immediately and said, hey, let's do the interview.
That's
so
fantastic.
That'll be fun. We're also going to talk about some of the lost Chicago shopping, since it's the holiday season. Like, what stores do we miss shopping at? The Weebolds and
Turnstile,
I'm trying to think who Turnstile was a spinoff of. Jewel.
It was
an apparel store. It was Jewel's spinoff apparel store. Yeah.
Wow.
There's one at Harlem and Foster.
Can you think of any, Lisa?
Polk Brothers,
for the holidays.
Wow.
Yep.
Of course, Marshall Field.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Polk Brothers still has a foundation, because they closed, voluntarily for the most part. They just said, we're done. And, So anyway, we got a big show coming up.
Dave Plyer will be next, so stick around for that.